everybody. Hey, Pastor Pat Rankin. Hey, I'm so glad you decided to tune into our church service broadcast here at hbwt.org. hbwt.org. I want you to share this with one of your friends. This is going to be a dynamite service. We're going to be talking about identifying evil, and that's something that we need to know now more than ever, it seems like. So it's going to be a great day for the Word. It's going to be a great day for worship. And today, worship is brought to you by my daughter, Keelan Rankin. So song number one's coming up. Worship with us.
Thank you. Praise God. Hey, I knew you guys were going to like that song. I got my shouting shoes on, man, and I'm reaching for the roof. Hey, before we get ready for our tithes and offerings, let's say a quick prayer for everybody that's out there today and everybody that's joining us. So Father God, I just want to thank you that all the people that are gathered here today are joining us because they want to hear a fresh word from you. Now I pray that there be a move of the Holy Spirit like never before on this broadcast. And I pray this in thy name, Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, let's get into the tithe. Hey, before I get into the tithe, let me say this because sometimes I forget. You can still give through the snail mail. 1745 Craig Road. 1745 Craig Road, and that is in Creve-Coeur, Missouri. Go ahead and mail that in if you want. Or if you are a tech person and you like doing stuff on the phone, you can do it easily. 314-714-6555. Let me slow it down. 314-714-6555. Or right where you're at, hbwt.org. Online is where you can give. Let's get into it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. There's a lot of ways that we can honor the Lord. Here's one way, through our tithes and offerings. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barn will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Let's talk about honoring the Lord. We can honor the Lord. Prayer time. Keeping Him first. Keeping Him in our marriage, keeping Him in our family, doing it at our job, keeping Him there in our job. And maybe just by the way we walk and talk and just our action. Well, right here, I don't think it's irony that Solomon says that we need to honor the Lord with everything that He's given us. So if He's given you something, these first fruits of your produce, or your money rather, He said you're supposed to tithe. He said then you're barns will be full with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with new wine. Man, that's totally awesome. So take your tithe and do this with me. Father God, we just ask you to bless the tithe today. Bless it, bless it, bless it, Lord. Let us celebrate. Let us cheer you. Let us get excited about you. Let us realize, Lord God, that everything we have, not only in our bank account, but in our house, the air that we breathe, is all yours. And we want to honor you with it today. So I pray that you bless the tithe and offering for everybody that's gathered here today. In thy name of Jesus, amen and amen. So let's applaud the Lord for that. Praise God, praise God. And let's take a second, catch our breath, and we'll get ready for the message. All right, let's get into this message. We're going to identify evil. Let me give you the definition real quick before we get into praying for this message. I specifically got the definition of this because I want you to be able to understand this, identify it, because it's evil and or sin. That's basically what it is. Evil and sin are they're kin, or basically the same thing, really. Evil is defined as profoundly immoral or wicked. Evil is profoundly immoral or wicked. All right, so we got that. So wicked, right? Remember, it's twisted. Let's pray. Lord, just bless the message through the power of your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit through our bodies to heal our physical bodies and our spiritual bodies and our minds. And come in with us, Lord God. We want to feel your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 3:1. Here we go. Going down to 13. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. So know this, that Satan is a created being, and God created him, and God will deal with him in the end. So that's kind of another study, another church service. But Satan is one of the fallen angels. He's the one who brought evil into the world. Well, actually, the evil actually got brought into the world through mankind, and we'll talk about that, but it was provoked by Satan, and you know that's what he does. He prompts. So if you're being prompted by the evil one, ask God to be with you today. So we're going to identify evil. He said to the woman, did God actually say, excuse me, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, or the middle of the garden, maybe one of your Bibles says. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you know you will not die, so what does he do? He stacks a lie on top of another lie. He's a liar, then he starts stacking the lies up, gifts wrapped it for human consumption. Let's see if she takes the bait. You know you will not surely die. Verse 5. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. So we know that's a lie. God never told Adam and Eve that if you was to eat it, you would be like me. You're never going to be like God. You're going to be a follower of God, but you're never going to be a God yourself. So here he is. He just goes on and on and on with his lies. And that's what evil does. It lies. It backpedals, and it tries to bring people into its web. He says, then you'll know good from evil. So the woman saw the tree. It was good for food. And it was a delight to the eyes. And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. So we got the woman and the man all there eating something they ain't supposed to eat. And he told them, don't eat from that tree. Now, what would have happened if they ate from the tree of life? So there was two trees in the garden. One's the tree of life, and one's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Which one did they eat from? Tree of knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to know everything. So instead, they would have lived forever if they would have ate out of the tree of life. They didn't do that. They wanted what they wanted, and they didn't care what the cost was. Well, this is how sin enters the world. This is how evil enters the world. And you say, well, yeah, I told you. I told my wife that it was Eve that brought sin into the world. And here's what I tell the guys. Here's the deal. If you was with your wife, she wouldn't have been over in the garden with this clown, you know, trying to romance her into eating from this lovely tree. And that's what evil does. It tries to lure you in to its world. Whether it's on the internet or it's drinking or alcohol, whatever that is, it tries to lure you in. It's not that bad. It's not that, you know, it's not that evil. Well, evil's evil. Remember, it's profoundly twisted. It's profoundly wicked. It's profoundly immoral. This is where immorality comes in. So watch what happens once they sin. Automatically, boom. Their eyes were both opened. So what does that mean? That means their physical eyes, they could actually see their sinfulness in the flesh. They were naked by then. Well, before that, nakedness didn't mean anything. The naked was just, that was just part of the body. And it wasn't to have any shame on it back then. And you say, wow, man, I wonder. So we know the story that they get kicked out of the garden and God puts an angel there with a sword so they can't get back in. Well, you say, well, why did he do that? Because if they would have got back in and then ate from the tree of life, then sin would have lived forever in the garden. And sin can't live forever because it's too evil. And I know that's a lot, and I know a lot of preachers don't unpack all that kind of stuff. You say, well, I want to figure out how we get back in the garden, how we get back in grace with God. And it's through his son, Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, let's pause right there, and that'll be a good time for you to hear this song. My daughter's going to sing this song, and you're going to love it. It's actually about coming home, getting back into the garden. So they're sowing some fig leaves. They're putting them together to make loincloths. And they're trying to fix themselves. And we know that doesn't work out real good. So that's Genesis 3:7. Let's play that song right now. And you worship with us. And we'll come back and we'll start in Genesis 3:8.
Thank you.
Amen. That was totally awesome. Come home running to Jesus. So there's the answer. That's how you get back in the garden. See, because originally we were supposed to dwell with God. Man screwed it up, you know the deal. How do we get back in the garden? Come home running. Let's just meditate on that for just a second. I think about that, and by all rights, we should be kicked out of the garden. We shouldn't be able to get to heaven, but because of God's love for mankind, he sent his son Jesus. Man, that's powerful. Let's get with it. 3:8 in Genesis, it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." All right, so let's crank up the lies and let's start the blame game. That's what evil does. Whenever evil gets caught, they want to blame everybody else for their problem. Let's see if that holds true here. They hid themselves from the Lord and God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" So this would be kind of like you ask little Johnny if he took the cookie, and he's got the cookie behind his back with both arms and said, "I don't have anything." Same thing here. Remember that when you ask one of your kids, did you take anything from the cookie jar? Hey, what's in your hand? And they put their hand behind their back and go, "There ain't nothing there." Same with Adam. He's acting like a little baby. And spiritually speaking, he was at this point anyways. Verse 10, he says, and he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. Now, why in the world would you be afraid of the man or the God man who created you? Unless you were disobedient, you better be very afraid. So that's why that song that Keelan just sung is so important, that you get right with God. And that's getting back in the garden. And that's trusting Jesus so you have access. And Jesus is the gatekeeper there. He says, "I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Let's see what the guy's response is. Now, being a he-man back in these days that Adam is, I'll bet he's gives a rough and tough answer here. Verse 12, the man said, "The woman whom you give to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Now, I just got to tell you, as a man of the house, leader of the house, if your wife doesn't want to come to church, you still come to church. You still bring your kids to church. Ladies, if your husband doesn't want to come to church, you still come to church. You still bring your kids to church. You can't make excuses why we don't go to church, why we don't tithe, why we don't read our Bible. "Well, the reason I don't read my Bible, Pastor, is because my husband doesn't. Or the reason I don't is because my wife doesn't. My kids don't." Here's the deal. If you're the dad of the family, sit down in the day or the night and open up a devotion and quit making excuses. Excuses, I told you, are like armpits. Everybody's got two. So he blames the woman. Verse 13 says, so God goes over to the woman. Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" What does the woman say? "The serpent has deceived me and I ate." Well, you go, man, that crafty devil, I can't believe that he deceived this woman. Well, here's the deal. That's his native tongue, is to lie. That's his native tongue, is to deceive. That's his native tongue, to get you to think that he doesn't exist. That's his native tongue, and that's his character, to get everyone to think that the COVID virus was started by some person that's here, regardless if it was started by a person or just came into the world, it all came through the devil. It all came through hell. It's not something of the origin of God, and it come through a sinful behavior of somebody somewhere. I don't mean to simplify it like that, but I have to, because that's what it is. I have to identify evil. So I want to crank down here on this for just a second. I want to pause right here. And if I was to take you, and you don't even have to go there, I just want to, this is kind of a It talks about after the flood in Genesis 8 and 21. It says, I will never curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from youth. So I wanted to throw that out there because that's the way God describes man's heart. Or the Bible says it's desperately wicked. Who knows it but the Lord? So our hearts are wicked, and the only way to get back into a right standing with the Lord is through his son, Jesus Christ. We have to identify evil. We can't keep pushing it under the rug. You can't keep watching the same shows over and over again. You can't keep using the same language and think that you're not inviting evil into your family. You can't continue to not use health practices and expect evil not to befall your home. Evil is evil, and we have to deal with it, and the way you deal with it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me crank down here, right here, as I get ready to finish this message, and then actually we're going into the Lord's Supper, so bear with me for just a second. So if you're out there, get your juice or your cracker or whatever it is. I didn't have any, so I'm going to be using water and and some bread today for the Lord's Supper. But I want to challenge you to identify the evil that's in your house, because that's where it's got to start. And you know, in 1 Thessalonians, it tells us to not even give the appearance of evil. So I may not even be doing something evil, but it can't appear evil even to my wife or my daughter. So if it is, I need to apologize and need to straighten that out. And I go, well, I'm not doing anything evil. And my wife or my daughter go, well, it appears like it's evil. So I need to check that. So that's that's kind of like a condition of the heart or inventory, and getting ready to go into the Lord's Supper. Basically, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about examining the heart. Now, I'm not going to use that today, but I'm going to be using Mark 14. So, all that being said, moving forward, starting today, when you look out there in the landscape of the world, whether it's the COVID virus, it's the protesting, or it's the just the divide, whatever it is, it's evil against good. How do we mend those fences? How do we bridge those gaps? We bridge those gaps with love. Now, I don't have to tolerate evil, but I bridge the gap with love. I reach you with love. You reach me with love. We're not going to point fingers and kind of wag fingers and, well, if you'd have done this, it would have been that. Yeah. No. That's evil. What we want to do is speak like God and be the forgiving people that God has called us to be. So let me pray for that. We'll get into the Lord's Supper. We'll talk a little bit more. I'm pumped about identifying evil because when we can identify evil, we can walk in holiness. So Father God, help us walk in holiness and identify evil. And as we get ready for the Lord's Supper today, Lord God, I pray that you bless it. We pause just a minute ourselves to check, ask you to check our heart and find out if there's anything offensive to you in it. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, there you go. We're getting ready for the Lord's Supper. So let's get with it. All right, everybody, we're getting to the Lord's Supper. I want to thank you for being at the service with us. If you're a born-again believer, the Bible tells you to take the Lord's Supper. Why do we take the Lord's Supper? We take the Lord's Supper so we're reminded of the power that you and I have since Jesus died on the cross. Let's do that. Let's ask God to fill us with his power. Father God, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, you fill us with the power of your Holy Ghost. Lord, we're asking that all religious activity right now would be stopped. Any religious thoughts, Lord God, any bitterness, any indecision, fill us full of your Holy Ghost. Fill us full of faith. We rebuke sickness and disease and put it at your feet. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As you guys make your way to get your bread and your drink, I wanted to share something with you. I was just going to read 14:22 in Mark. But I want to actually talk to you a little bit more about evil. So we're going to start here in 14:17. It says, "And when the evening came with the 12, as they were reclining at the table," so they were all reclining with Jesus, his disciples, "Jesus said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.'" So I want to challenge you today. If you have been hanging around someone that is bringing evil into your area, into your home, into your business, maybe you share a ride with them, the Bible's very clear. I'll talk about this next week. You need to get that evil out of your camp. And I think that's 1 Corinthians 5:13. Don't quote me on that. That'll be a sermon for next week. Get that evil out of your camp. God cannot bless a household when there's a vessel of evil in there. You need to do that. It's tough, but I want you to address that today. That's why God or Jesus is addressing this here. "They began to be sorrowful," in verse 19, "and say to one another, 'If it is I.'" So they were confused. They're going, "Holy cow, one of us is going to betray you? Really?" Verse 20, "He said, 'It is one of the 12 who is dipping the bread into the dish with me, for the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man of him who the Son has betrayed. It would have been better for him, for that man, if he had not been born." So some heavy condemnation there, and we know what happened later. We end up know that Judas ends up killing himself. Man, I tell you what, God just won't tolerate evil. So if God won't tolerate evil, I'm going to ask you, why do we, me and you, why do we tolerate evil? I think sometimes go along to get along. I think the movie's going to get better and all that. Man, I tell you what, them really just ain't nothing but a bunch of excuses. I've told you about that, man. I'm really having a difficult time trying to find something to watch. Anyways, as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. So whether you heard it here, or my daughter singing, 'Come Home Running,'" the desire of God is that everybody be saved. Now, will that happen? Man, I don't think so. But man, it would sure be a great thought. So let's pray for me and you and those who are struggling. Let's be praying for our world. I think we can change this world. Will you not only will you share this broadcast, but I want to pray that you get some people involved in our online service. Let's pray. Father God, as we close our service today, we're reminded through your Lord's Supper that we have a divine right to partake in this Lord's Supper, so we can remember the power that we have in you. And not by our own accord, but we have that right because of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you, and I thank you for my brothers and sisters here at Have Bible Travel and all the partners. I pray to you, Father God, in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, there's a service, man. Pumped up, fired up, ready to go. So identify evil, turn to holiness, share love, share prayer. Invite people to Have Bible Travel. Remember two things, though. Jesus loves you, and I love you. Have a great day in the Lord.